I'm excited tonight we get to continue on with our series in Colossians, which has been an awesome book, my favorite book of the Bible. And I love the fact that Paul is coming to us and he's helping us figure out how to live this Christian life thing that a lot of us are like, how do you do that? Like, how do you live this thing? It's one thing to like know Jesus and love Jesus, but it's a whole different thing to know, like, why am I doing this? How do I do this? Now that I love Jesus, what next? And so Paul's like, hey, listen, it's easy to get this distorted view of all that. And so what I want to do is in Colossians, I want to write you this letter and I want you to help you understand like what this clear picture would be of living for and with Christ. And so that's what he's trying to do. So the name of our series is Coming Into Focus, because he's helping us bring all that into focus. All those things that might seem confusing, all those things that might seem churchy and like hard to understand, all those things that the world wants to come and tell you differently than what God tells you. It distorts the picture that we have, the view that we have of who Jesus is, who we are, what his gospel is, what his mission is. And those are things we've talked about each week up to this point. And each time, Paul's helping us dial in that focus more and more so we can see what this is really all about. Like, why do you confess Jesus as your Savior? Why do you pray to him? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you come to church? What is this whole thing for? Why not just go out and do what the world's doing? Why not just go live like them and enjoy like the pleasures of the flesh that we're promised are going to feel good and seem so good, but then in the end, really just break us? Why not just go try it and do it and experience it? What is this all for? And so Paul is helping us understand this is why. And so tonight, as we've talked about things like bringing into focus who we are, broken sinners that don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve Jesus. And then looking at Jesus, like, who is this Savior and why is he so great? And we saw how unbelievable Jesus is and how much he loves us and this sacrifice when he gave his life for us. These unbelievable things that Jesus has done should blow our minds to say we have the best Savior we could ever ask for. And then he says, well, there's more than that. There's this mission that this Savior who's so awesome has given us. Broken us, people who are small and fragile like us, get invited into his mission. And we looked at that mission of bringing that gospel to the world so people could know how amazing he really is. And so as we're starting to dial in, like, what's our purpose? Why are we here? What's the point of all of this? Tonight, he's going to show us a little deeper into that mission. What is the mission then? We should be sharing the gospel. We should be telling people how awesome Jesus is, but like, what more? What is inside of all of that? How do I actually do that mission that he's talking about? And I want to sum it up with one word tonight before we even read the passage. It's this big word that might seem confusing at first, and hopefully by the end of this, it won't be confusing at all. The word discipleship. Discipleship. And if we break that up, we hear the word disciple in there, and you might have heard that. You hear about Jesus walking around and feeding people with like just a little bit of fish and bread in a little basket. He's feeding thousands of people with one lunch basket. And you're like, how is he doing that? He's walking on water. He's doing these amazing things, right? And there's always these people following him called his disciples. So you may have heard that. And you're like, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. It's a student. It's someone who's walking with Jesus and learning who Jesus is. Learning how to live like Jesus, learning what he's all about. And so these disciples of Jesus are learning to be like him. And you know that Jesus calls us his disciples? If we've given him our hearts and our lives and said, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want to follow you. What I'm saying is I want to learn to be like you. I want you to make me like you. I can't do that myself. I can't go home and like make out this list and put it on my wall and like check off as I do things that make me more and more like Jesus until finally I reach my goal. You know, like, yeah, now I'm just like him. That's not how it works. I'll fail at that every time. It actually looks more like this, where I walk up to Jesus and go, there's no way I can do this. And so instead, I'm just going to fall down at your feet and just surrender and say, Jesus, you have to do this in me. I'm going to let you go into my heart and see all the little spots that I've tried to cover up and hide that I don't want people to see. I'm going to let you in the little dark corners to rummage around and look for whatever you find. I'm going to give you permission to go in there. And when you find things that need a break, I'm going to let you break them. And I'm going to keep my hands off. I'm going to let you change me and transform me and do whatever you need to do with me. I surrender and go ahead, do it. That's very different from being like, Jesus, this is mine. Don't mess with my heart. Don't mess with the things I'm passionate about. Don't touch these relationships. Stay away from my future plans. These are my goals. I'm doing this. You don't have a choice in it. Like, that's not the same, right? Paul says we walk up and we open our hearts up and we say, Jesus, go for it. Change my plans. Change my goals. Change the things that I love. Make me not love the things that aren't honoring you. Break my heart if you need to break my heart. So when we surrender and say, Jesus, you have free reign in me to transform me and change me and make me just like you, all we're doing is saying, take my hand and walk me along the path next to you. Wherever you go, let me just follow you. Let me watch you as you pick people up and take their brokenness and heal them. Let me watch you as you wrap your arms around people who are crying and hurting and comfort them and love them. Let me see that. Let me watch it. Let me learn from you. Let me become like you. Just take me by the hand and let me just spend time with you as I grow more like you. That's that surrender that Paul's saying we have to have. It's not the checklist. It's not the hard work and the religious ceremonies and all these other things we try to do. It's going, Jesus, take my hand and walk me along every morning. Walk me through my day. Make me like you. That's a disciple. A disciple says, Jesus, I give it all to you so you can make me like you. I hope that as you hear that and you think through your discipleship, like who you are, if you call yourself a believer in Jesus, if you say that you're saved, if you call yourself a Christian, that the word you could use is disciple of Jesus, that you would be able to say, I do that. I go to Jesus and I say, take me through my day. Today's yours. When we go to school, you're leading me by the hand. The choices I make today will be based on you. The things I say to my friends, it'll be a heart out of a heart that loves you and wants to honor you. All my choices, all my decisions, I lay them at your feet, Jesus. I surrender. That's a disciple. And I would hope that we're more than just Christians by name. I hope we do more than just show up at church. I hope we do more than just brag about the Christian-y things we do and the service projects or the music that we play or any of that stuff, that the thing that would matter most is that we say, I have surrendered to Jesus and I'm his. That's a disciple. It's all about Jesus. I'm small and he's big. And it's good that it's that way. And so Paul wants to bring this mission of discipleship, that's the mission, into focus. That we would be disciples of Jesus, but that we would also be like him and go make disciples. You see, if you get it, right? And you're like, Jesus, I get that I need to surrender to you. I'm all yours. You know what Jesus wants you to do at that point? Go find someone else that you can teach that to. Get someone else and grab them by the hand and walk them over to Jesus and be like, here, take his hand. Like, follow him. It's going to be the best decision of your life to follow Jesus. Just let him walk you through your day. Let him have control of your decisions and your life and your conversations and just watch what happens, because he's going to do unbelievable things that will blow your mind if you just follow him around. He's the God of the universe. He speaks and things come into existence. You're gonna see some things if you're spending time with the creator. He will blow your mind, but take a walk with him so you can see it. That's what he wants us to do, because we have seen it, right? We're looking in awe at this amazing Savior and like, why would you ever save me? And how could you change my life like this? And how could you love me this much? We've run out of words to say to describe it. And he's like, now let that flow out of you when you walk over to this guy over here, this girl over here, who doesn't get it and doesn't see it, and they haven't met him yet. Disciple them. Take them by the hand. Walk them over to Jesus and say, it's worth it. Take a walk with him. Surrender your heart to him. And so we're called to be disciple makers as well. We receive as disciples, but we give as disciple makers, that's where I'm probably going to lose most of you. You're going to stop and go, wait, a disciple maker? Do you know what grade I'm in? Do you know how old I am? I'm still in school. I have teachers teaching me. I come to youth groups so Rob can preach at us and teach us. I have leaders in my group that teach us in Sunday school classes where they teach us. I am the discipled one. And Jesus would look you in the face and say, here, you've got a distorted view of my mission. I want to bring it into focus. You right now at your age, if you're following Jesus, are capable of being a disciple maker. And you're not just capable of it. You should be doing it. You're called to do it. That same heart that causes you to look at Jesus with this overflowing love of like, whoa, should be the same heart that sends you toward people and say, listen, you need Jesus too. You need to know him and grow like who he is. And so Paul's going to pull this in. Look with me at Colossians chapter 2. We hit chapter 2 now. Let's just read verses 1 to 5 together tonight and hear what Paul has to say about it. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I'm absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Man, as Paul, I can picture the room. He's sitting in the room, his scribe is doing this, whatever, but there's a pen to the paper and Paul is saying the words and you can almost feel this passion in his voice. This heart of love that he has for these people in Colossae, trying to tell them, like, listen, this church that I planted, this church that loves Jesus so much now, that has grown so much in such a short time, I love you guys. And look at what he says in verse 1 right there. How great, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you. You see, there's this thing happening in Paul, even as he's writing the words, this desire to see those people love Jesus, to understand how much Jesus loves them. Even though they follow him, they've given their lives to him, there's something more. It's not just like, oh, good, you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven, sweet, now we can just disengage, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, just live life now because you're going to heaven. That is not the picture we see. We see Paul struggling, and he wants them to know about his struggle. Why? Because when you meet Jesus, that's the first step. That's not the finish line. That's his first step into a brand new life. The Bible calls it an abundant life. Like, it's the fullness of what you should be expecting. Like, you're growing more and more into this relationship with your Savior. And so Paul's like, listen, there's a struggle in my heart for you to know that every step you take, you can grow closer to Jesus. You don't have to just stop and say, oh, I'm saved, so I'm good now. I'm going to go do my own thing. You can say, Jesus, what more today? Jesus, what do you want to do with me today? How do you want to grow me? What do you want to teach me? What do you want to show me? There can be this excitement in your life to know Jesus more every minute of every day. We're going to get to spend eternity getting to know him. And there will never be an end. We'll never actually fully do it. There's no way to know everything about an infinite, eternal God, right? And we get to spend eternity learning and growing and knowing him. And Paul's like, listen, I struggle for you. I want you. He talks about these people in Laodicea, right? For those at Laodicea, for those who haven't even seen me face to face. Like, they haven't literally met Paul yet. He still has this heart for them, wanting them to know this thing. How do you view other people? See, a lot of us, we have so many things going on in our lives. We're busy. We have stress and anxiety and things happening, and we're trying to just accomplish the things we need to get done. And so we tend to fall in these buckets, right? This first bucket some of us fall into is we just don't care about other people in that way. Like, we're not thinking about it. It doesn't cross our mind. We just have to get our stuff done. We have so many things we like and we love. We have talents and hobbies and sports, and we got to go to practice and do well in games, and we got to, you know, sing in musicals and lead bands, and we need to do all of these things, right? We have lists of things because there are a lot of talented people, right? And you use your talents, and that becomes a busy agenda. And all of a sudden, you look up and you're like, man, my schedule is so full of stuff for me. I don't ever think about other people and their salvation. Doesn't cross my mind. It's not that I don't want to. I just don't, because I'm so busy and I'm so distracted and I have so many other things going on. I would never write a thing like Paul wrote. Who would I write that to? I'm struggling for you to know Christ. And listen, I believe we should have a struggle in a good way, in a healthy way. This thing in us that drives us, the Holy Spirit convicting us and pushing us to say, there's a lost and dying world out there. You have friends who are going to hell. You have family members that are probably going to hell. There are people you haven't even met yet that are going to hell. And God says, I choose you to be the ones to go tell them about heaven, about salvation, about his son, Jesus. Is there a struggle in you? Do you ever even stop to think? Are you in this first bucket where you're like, I'm just not even thinking about it? Or is there a struggle in you that says these people need Jesus? They need to hear about him. They need to be saved. And there are people all around us who are saved who are still standing here going, I'm saved and now I'm just chilling. That need you to grab their hand and say, come on, take the walk with me. Find out who he is. Be discipled, grow, surrender your heart. Let him change you and you will not regret it. But maybe you're in that first bucket and you're just like, I never even think of it. Never mind, have a struggle. And there's another bucket. A bucket that just says, like, I could literally care less. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Like, I know there are people out there. I just don't want that. I have my own things and I want to do my things. And it's just outright, like, I just know. Maybe for you tonight, if you claim to be a believer and feel that way, I would ask you, check your heart and make sure you really have a relationship with Jesus. Make sure the Holy Spirit really does reside in you, that you really meant it. And you gave your heart over to Christ, make sure that's real. And if you're like, yeah, it is, then I'd say pray and say, God, break my heart. Put a struggle in me. Cause me to want to see that, to love other people that way, to love you that way. And there's another bucket. It's like Paul. It's like, man, I am about it. I got a struggle. I know these people. I know who they are in school. I'm picturing them in my head right now. I'm thinking about the names of the people in my family and the names of the people on my team and the names of people in that one class I sit in. And I know that they need Jesus. They've been clear about it. And I know others that just need someone to grab their hand and help them walk along the path. You're like, I go to a Christian school, maybe. Don't take that for granted that you go to a Christian school and just assume that everyone in a Christian school is walking with Jesus. There are so many students, so many teenagers that walk through Christian middle school and high school that are not saved, they don't want to be saved, and they're just trying to get through without people noticing that. And it might just be that the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, step out to this one person right here and just see if they need to know me. Or maybe the many that are standing there thinking, I go to a Christian school, so I'm good. Maybe tonight you learn that Paul is saying, Jesus wants you to grab him by the hand and say, let's take a walk. Let's get passionate about Jesus together. Let's read our Bibles together. Let's pray together. Come to church with me. Come to youth group with me. Let's know Jesus. Let's let him change our hearts and rile us up for the gospel. Let's change our community and our world because the Holy Spirit's in us. But don't just stand there. You get the greatest gift you could ever receive, the gospel, salvation, the God of the universe living in you. Do something with it. Don't just stand there. Let him transform you. Take a walk. Don't just take for granted that your school might be completely saved. If you go to a public school and you're like, man, I don't know many Christians at my school. It's a public school. They're there. I guarantee you they're there. I'm on those campuses. I walk through our local campuses. There are believers there. Find them. Reach out. Make friends of other Christians on your campus. You're like, but we're not like, you know, in the same groups. Well, become a same group, but join forces with some people on your campus that you guys can be the light of Christ in your campus, to your teachers, to your coaches. FCA, First Priority, all these other groups meet on these campuses. Join them and find other believers and other Christians you can be with. You guys can serve together on your campuses, and you're not trying to do it alone. But here's what it comes down to. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever God has you, be willing to say, Jesus, I want to have this struggle in my heart that others would know you and grow in you. I want to be a part of discipleship. I want to just be some like selfish Christian who's like, feed me the Bible, feed me ministry, make me feel better, Holy Spirit, fill me up. But then I'm never feeding other people. You see, he's feeding us. He's giving us that fruit so we can hand it out to others. Don't be selfish and just take. Give. Be the hands and feet of Jesus like he called us to be as the church. And share that with other people around you. Paul had this struggle, right? And look at verse 2. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. Like, don't you want to be encouraged? You want to wake up and have someone in your life that is encouraging to you, but it's bigger than just a, hey, hope you have a good day, you know, praying, like sending you vibes or whatever that thing is that we do, right? Like, it's just like watered down. But this person that points you to the greatest encouragement that's ever been offered, you need Jesus today. I want to remind you that Jesus loves you today. I want to remind you to walk with him today. I want your heart to be encouraged because the only one that's worthy of that is Jesus, and you have him. What if we reminded each other of that all the time instead of giving each other like these little pep talks and motivational things and whatever else we say, these cliches and all this other stuff we try? Or sitting with our friends and just try to give the best advice we have in us, you know, or things we've heard other people tell us. What if what we did was we offered people Jesus? He's the one who can fix your broken heart. He's the one that deserves all the glory. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who bought you with a price, with his own life and blood. Jesus is your solution. Grab his hand and walk with him. What if we encouraged each other that way? Paul wants their heart to be encouraged, not because of some pretty words he's writing them, but because of Jesus and the power he has in their life. And look what he says. This beautiful thing happens, right? Being knit together in love. If we follow Jesus together, do you know what happens to our hearts? They become knit together. We become to love people that aren't even necessarily like us, that wouldn't necessarily be in our friend group, that we wouldn't be like, yeah, we'd be great buds, let's hang out. But like Jesus does a thing. And even though we're different in so many ways, Jesus does a thing in us, and that Holy Spirit does something, causes us to see each other the way Jesus sees us. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, I love these people, and they're weird, and they're strange, and they're different, and they're whatever. But you know what? Jesus loves them. And Jesus has knit us together and brought us together because we're living for the same hope. And we're on our way to heaven. That this world is literally dying and going to hell, and we don't have to be a part of that. We're being saved out of that. That's great news, y'all. That can be the very news that bonds us together. Because that mission that we have, that same mission, is discipleship. As we get together and say, let me encourage you and you encourage me. Let's go find someone else who needs to be encouraged. Someone who's not walking with Christian friends that needs to be in our group that can come learn about Jesus and grow with us. And we can encourage them to keep following Jesus. Who is that person? Listen, I know you're busy. And I know I probably say it way too much. I bring it up. But your culture is just too busy. Your generation is too busy. And you have so many things you're trying to do. And it's fine as long as you don't replace Jesus with those things. As long as you don't all of a sudden look up and go, I don't have time for Jesus or his mission. I don't have time to disciple and love other people because I'm too busy. That's when your things and your calendar and your talents and your hobbies just became an idol in your life. They became a false god to you. That's when you began to worship yourself over Jesus. And I would say that if you find yourself in that spot, you'd be willing to take those idols and throw them to the ground and say, Jesus, this might be an overreaction, but that's fine because I don't want to take any risks when it comes to me and you. You're that important. All of my earthly treasures can burn. I want you. That's what's going on in Paul. And when you believe that and you're walking that road, our hearts are knit together. And he says this next. He says, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding. That's a mouthful, right? That's a mouthful. But what he's saying is there is so much richness in knowing you're saved by Jesus. When you understand what's really happened in you, where you were headed, the punishment that was waiting for you, the lostness that you were stuck in, when you really get the depths of our sin and how terrible it was, and that Jesus came and pulled us out of that and promises us heaven and salvation and mending our broken hearts, all of those things, that's when you understand this mystery. You get it and you're like, oh my goodness, there is more riches in that than anything earth could ever offer me. I would never trade my eternal life with Jesus over any of these things that I could find down here on this planet. We understand it. And Paul wants them to get that. And he says, in the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. The best part of that whole thing I just said isn't even heaven and eternal life and all that stuff. You know what it is? It's Jesus himself. You get to be with him, fall in love with the person, Jesus, and not just the things he does for you. And they're great things. There are awesome benefits to knowing Jesus, forgiven sins, eternal life, heaven, like all of these incredible things. But the best part, in my opinion, the only part that matters is you get to be with him. He's the mystery. He's done this thing. He loves you more than anyone has ever or will ever love you. You can't even understand the depths of how much he loves you. You can't even begin to comprehend it. That's who I want to be with eternity with. That's the mystery that I am so glad I get to know because I've talked to him every morning and every night. And I spend my day talking to Jesus. This unbelievable mystery that I now know is the greatest riches I will ever know. Paul wants us to know that. He wants that focus to be laser focused on Jesus. And he says this next. He says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, when you know Jesus, all of a sudden this path you're walking on, trying to figure out the Christian life that we talked about, starts to make sense. And not because you memorized a bunch of things and learned a bunch of things. It's because of who you know. You've walked with him. You've seen him walk the path. He's taking you by the hand. He's guiding you down the life that he's wanting you to live. And so it makes sense because you're saying, Jesus, this would make you happy and not make you happy. This is what you would do or not do. And I want to be like you. Not because I have to, not because of some legalistic reason. I just want to be like you because I love you. And as we're around him more, we start to live like him and these treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It makes sense because we know the person who gives them. We know Jesus. We can spot the counterfeits that aren't Jesus because we know him so well. Then he says in verse 4, look what he says. He says, I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. Paul likes, man, he's got a lot of words, right? Like these big fancy words. And here's what he's saying. I don't want anyone to trick you. There are a lot of really fancy arguments out there. There are college professors, there are high school teachers, there are people that are just walking around thinking they know lots of stuff. There are people posting stuff on Instagram and social media and YouTube, all this stuff, right, with their little videos and being so convincing and showing you all these things. And you know what? It could sound pretty convincing. Even the things that are lies. Even the things that are just straight wrong. And Paul's like, you're going to hear lots of different things, lots of different arguments, and they're all going to try to convince you to believe like what they're saying and what they're teaching. I don't want you to be tricked by them. I want you to know the true Jesus. So when all these different fake Jesuses show up trying to convince you of a different way, you'll know they're counterfeit because you know the real one. You're spending time with him. You're reading his word. You're praying. You're letting him change your heart and dig around in there and do whatever he wants to do. And you get to know him more and more intimately. Paul says, I'm telling you this so that you won't be tricked. Listen, y'all, there are tons of people going to try to trick you. The world is full of people trying to trick you. The government is full of people trying to trick you. Our neighborhoods are full of people trying to trick us. Your friend groups will even have people that are trying to trick you. You can't get away from it. It's everywhere. It's this thing called sin. And guess what? The entire universe is infected by sin. The Bible's very clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans tells us. There's none righteous. No, not one. Romans tells us that too. You're going to find people trying to trick you all over the place. And they might not know they're trying to trick anybody. They might really believe it. But the one you need to listen to is the authentic one. It's the only one. It's Jesus. And if you don't follow and know Jesus, you'll be tricked by all these false arguments that are going to lead you astray and cause you to doubt and walk down other paths. People spouting out things about whatever new thing they find that seems to contradict the Bible until later down the road we find out they're wrong, right? Like it just keeps happening in this cycle. Listen to Jesus. Go straight to him. Go straight to his word. Find out what he says first. And don't wait for him to be the last resort, but go to Jesus. Know Jesus and his word so you can spot those things. Paul says, I mean, he misses them, right? He loves them. He says, for though I am absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit. Like he desires to be with them, but for now he has to write this letter that he's sending to this church in Colossae because he can't be there. But look at the amount of love he has for them. I feel like that's something missing from our culture. I feel like love has almost become this dirty word to us. I feel like people walk into churches and don't necessarily feel loved. We're almost afraid to even use the word or act that way toward one another, but look at the amount of love that Paul has for these people. He wants our hearts to literally be knit together in love. Let me ask you this. How do you love the people around you? Paul would say, you need to get in a group. Maybe a lot like our small groups that we have here or our Sunday school classes. That's why we do them. We didn't just invent it. We believe the Bible tells us to do that. And when we get in those groups, you're able to make connections, talk to people, meet people that you can grow with and encourage, like Paul's saying, and your hearts will become knit together in love because you're walking together in Jesus. Are you using those groups to really love the people around you? When you hear about someone struggling, do you really pray for them throughout the week when you share a prayer request in your small groups? Or does everyone just go, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you literally forget the next second to even pray? Do you care enough to really pray? Do you care enough to hear the need and say, is there a way that maybe I can be a solution to this, that I can help or serve in some way? Is there some investment that maybe even a sacrifice I could make to help them out because I really love them? Listen, I'm not telling you to tonight all of a sudden you have to just go save the entire world and help the entire world. That could seem pretty overwhelming, but what if there was one person that God was laying on your heart tonight to say, I'm going to start loving them well. I want to disciple them. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to be able to grow closer to Jesus on this walk, and I'll walk it with them. I'll take them by the hand and say, hey, let's Let's encourage each other with some Bible verses. Let's meet to pray together. Let's just text about Jesus or talk about Jesus, whatever it might be that God's leading you to do. But you'd say, I'll go that next step to really love someone in my life. How awesome would it be if it started right here? Right in this place. Firehouse steps up and says, we're the church. We're not waiting until we're over in that big building to be the church. We're the church now. We are saved. We are walking with Jesus. We are his hands and feet in this earth. We can love each other, love our schools. Jesus put that love in our hearts. Cause us to love each other that way. Paul says, I miss you. I miss you. He says, rejoicing to see your good order. Like there's something in his heart that's making him glad. He sees that they know the Lord. Do you know the Lord? Like really know him? Have you met him? Have you, I don't know, sat with him and said, God, I'm a sinner. I need you to forgive my sin. Only Jesus can do that. I know that now. Your son died for me on a cross in my place so I could be forgiven. So right now, I'm claiming that, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Do you know him like that? Do you have a relationship with God that you're reading the Bible and you're knowing him better and growing in him? Paul looked at these people and said, that's what they're doing. He sees their good order. He sees that they know God. And he says, in the firmness of your faith in Christ, that knowledge they were getting about him, they didn't just stop there and stand in the line and say, okay, I made it. There's this firmness in their faith in Christ where they're saying, I want to walk with you. I want to own my faith. I want to do something with it. I'm not just going to ride on my parents' faith, my family's faith, my youth pastor's faith, my Sunday school teacher's faith. I want it to be mine. I want to stand up and say, Jesus, it's all about you. My life is all about you. You're the center of everything that I am. I want you. And you take the walk. See, Paul was like, man, I love that you guys are owning your faith. You know him, but there's more. You own that faith that you have in him. And when that happens, you disciple other people. It pours out of you. It flows. It overflows out of you. And you start to say, I'm not taking this walk alone. Come with me. Start growing with me. There are far too many Christians doing it on their own. And there's a lot of people standing at the line waiting for someone, just waiting for someone to say, you want to grow in Jesus with me? You want to get serious about Jesus with me? I don't know where you're at. I'm not trying to tell, say everyone in this room is in any certain place at all. I don't know. But maybe there's some of you where that next step is like, man, I need to step in and be a leader. God's taught me a lot about him. It's time for me to put that in action. Maybe you need to be a student leader here at Firehouse. Serve. Serve the people around you. Have eyes. Say, I love these people. I want to come and serve somehow. Maybe you need to lead worship. Maybe God's gifted you to do that. And your next step of faith is going to talk to Zach or me and say, listen, like, I think God's calling me to help lead worship or be a student leader or whatever the thing might be. Maybe it's in your school, or maybe it's just in your family where God's telling you to step up and be vocal in your family that might need Jesus. I don't know. I'm not trying to put those things in your mind or head, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Open your mind and your heart up. Just open it up and be willing to say, Jesus, whatever you want to do in here, whatever step it is, maybe for some of you guys, it's baptism. You haven't been baptized yet. You haven't taken that step to declare that you are not ashamed of your faith in Christ in the waters of baptism, and you still need to do that. And God keeps calling you each week. He's like, do it, and you keep pushing it off. Maybe this week you need to take that step and say, yeah, it's time to take the walk. And the first step in that walk is being baptized. Whatever it might be, would you just have an open heart tonight to look to Jesus tonight and say, what's my next step? Is it just know you? Is it be saved? Be forgiven? Is it take someone else by the hand and grow with them in discipleship? What is it, Jesus? But would you just show me tonight, Jesus? And whatever you say, I'm going to say yes. Will you just tell him? Band's about to come up and lead us in another song of worship. And as they come up right now, here's what I want to ask you guys to do. Would you just bow your heads as they're getting ready? And would you just pray that? Just ask him right now. Say, my heart's open. My mind's open. God, tell me what that next step is.